Book of Galatians tonight, chapter number 6. The book of Galatians, chapter number 6. I want to read two verses tonight that are very compelling verses. The truth contained in these verses is absolutely tremendous. This is one of those truths that science agrees with. Now, there's science that is true, and there's science that's falsely so-called. Science observes and makes deductions based upon what has been observed. Science, falsely so-called, does not do that. One of the great fallacies of so-called science is a theory of evolution. It cannot be proven. Matter of fact, it can be proven to be false. And yet it's placed upon people over and over again. It's not something that's observable and recorded. It has been observed and has been recorded. It's called the Bible. The observer was God. He did it. And then he wrote down what he did. And somebody said, well, how do you know it's true? Well, let me ask you, how do you know it's false? The burden lies on you, not God. Amen? Seriously. So God gave us these things. And by the way, scientifically, this is a tremendous book. It has many, many things that, for instance, here's an issue that had they understood this in the days of George Washington, he may not have died so early as he did, though he wasn't young or necessarily young, but they did not know the life of the flesh is in the blood. And they thought that the blood was causing the problems, and so they would bleed them. And they would put leeches on just to get the blood out. Now, there's something interesting about leeches. Leeches can go into infected areas and suck on an individual. And I know this sounds gross, but they will suck the impurities out. They've also done that with maggots. And so if you got an infected foot from diabetes, they've actually been known to basically wrap your foot in a plastic bag full of maggots to get rid of it. But anyways, I said that to my wife one day. She says, they're not doing that to me. Anyway, we find a tremendous truth there. I want you to notice this. In verse number 7, it says, be not deceived. It's interesting he starts that way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In the world of science, they call it something else. In the Bible, we see it as sowing and reaping. In the world of science, it's called cause and effect. For every effect, there is a cause. For everything you reap, it has been sown. Okay? So we have a tremendous, tremendous truth here. That is spiritual, it is physical, it's emotional, it runs the gamut. So let's look at that verse again. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, the Lord here wants to qualify the matter of sowing and reaping. Now, we think of sowing and reaping, we think, all right, we plant a tomato seed, we're going to get tomatoes, right? We plant a seed of corn, we're going to get a corn stalk, and there's going to be corn on it. We plant a green bean seed, and we're going to get green beans. We know that. You take a seed from an orange and plant it in the ground. It won't happen up here because of the cold weather, but you can get an orange tree to grow. Because the God has made that seed to produce after its kind. And so whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we're taking a physical characteristic that's true worldwide, it's universal, and now he's going to apply this in a spiritual manner. And he says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Tonight I'd like to title my message this, with that verse especially in mind, some things can never be undone. Some can. Some things can never be undone. Some can. Let's think about this for a few moments tonight, because I want to make some very direct applications. We could adapt it in many areas. The works of the flesh are forever done, and they can never be undone. He says here that it of the flesh shall reap what? Corruption. It is going to have its payday. And basically is that when it's accomplished, it's a done deal. For instance, the time that you are given, the 24 hours that you just had, you will never have again. The moment fleets away. All you have is right now. Isn't that true? Matter of fact, that's why God tells us in His book that we ought to redeem the time. He tells us that, He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, there He's talking about, hey, there's lost folks out there, Christian, and we need to walk properly, that we use our time properly to be a witness and a help in their lives. You and I have so much time. I heard a fellow one day say, he says, I don't exercise. And somebody said, well, why not? And he says, well, you know, I believe that God has a point where you're going to die no matter what. And so I'm not going to exercise. And then he said this, he said, God's only given you so many beats per for your lifetime, and so why use them up early? You know? Doc's amen in that one. And we look at that and we know better than that, but we do know this, time that is spent on anything cannot be gotten back. I'm sure that no matter how old you are here tonight, I mean, whether you're aged, whether you're young, you know, teens or 20s or 30s or 50s or whatever, we have times that we wish we could live over. But we can't. They are, once we've been there, it's done. There are some things that happen in our lives at a particular time, had we been a second or two later, wouldn't have happened. Or a second or two earlier wouldn't have happened. You ever thought about highway accidents? Yeah, it's a matter of being in the wrong place at the wrong second. And if you are, you can't change that time. It's a done deal. So you and I tonight, we find that once it's used, it's gone, never to be brought back again. There are things that we have done that can never be undone, no matter what we do. I'm going to get at a couple of crucial items. One of those, and I speak directly to our teenagers tonight, and adults here, you could say, I understand this. Once you lose your virginity, it's gone. It can never, ever be regained. Once that is gone, you can never, ever give yourself completely to the one that you finally fall in love with. Young folks don't understand today, but that kind of wrong attitude is really contributing to the horrendous divorce rate that is going across our nation. I'll be frank with you, this matter of dating and going with guys or gals, it ruins people for later. I mean, we're checking out on the buffet line. And we're looking at this one, looking at that one, we're comparing and all those kinds of things. Rather than seeking God and asking God to reveal to us that particular one. That is a needed thing in our day and age. I was lost. I thought dating was the thing. When I turned 16, got my driver's license, I began to ask girls out for dates. For about a year and a half or two, I mean every weekend, once or twice, Friday night, Saturday night, some girl doing some stupid thing. Normally I took them to a movie or we went and got something to eat or whatever. And then take them home and the next night, somebody else. And I went, boy, this is really it. I got tired of it. In my senior year, excuse me, of high school, I'm 17 years of age. The latter part of my senior year, I quit dating. I was still lost. I didn't know the Lord. But God was doing something in my life and I didn't even know it. And what God was doing was preparing me. Because now I'm not really interested. This thing is, it's gotten old. It's silly. It's stupid. Excuse me. And I didn't do that. And somehow, down inside of me, I knew that God, I was not a saved guy, but I believed in God. I believed God would bring the right one to me. I was taught that. And I was going to church at the time. And in my, what was it, my freshman year, I believe, in college, we changed churches. And lo and behold, there was this gal sitting in the choir. And the only reason I'd go to Sunday school, or not Sunday school, but go to church, was I'd sit there and we'd kind of look at each other and eyes would drop down, you know, and I'd look. And I got interested because she didn't really look back that well. And she was playing hard to get, which was smart. And finally, I asked her for a date. First time I'd been on one in, I don't know, a year and a half or better. And I don't even know where it went. And I came back, and the next week I called her, and I showed up at the house. And by the way, Greg was a little baby. And one of her siblings, one of her little, either little brother or little sisters, one of them, I got there the second time, and one of them said, "You going to get married?" Now, there's something very unusual about this. Before they ever asked me, I knew down inside that God had brought me to the right one. I wasn't even saved yet. But I knew that. I'd been out of that other scene, had gotten old and stupid and silly. I had girls that were friends, don't misunderstand. We talked, we chatted. They were just friends. And now something different happened. God has somebody for you. But what if you give Him that which is already half ruined? What if you do that? It's going to cause problems later on. You see, a lot of times in our lives, we don't recognize something. And that is that you and I, if we aren't careful, if we're not careful, we sacrifice the future for right now. We do that. And so we need to be very careful. I'm going to tell our kids this something tonight too. I think boys and girls and teenagers today are far too intimate as just friends. You guys talk about stuff that I hardly talk to my wife about. And it's wrong. The sexual scene, I'll just leave your mind. There's a lot better things to deal with. Excuse me, I got a tickle down in the throat. But once that is gone, it's gone. And going through a set of boyfriends or girlfriends sets you up for divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage. Because that's what you're going through now. You're setting a pattern for life. And oh my, how we need to understand that. I believe another thing that's a work of the flesh, and once it's done, it's done. And that is broken relationships. Now, there is something that can heal a relationship, and that's forgiveness. But forgiveness is a work of the Spirit, which we're going to get to in just a little bit. But broken relationships. Do you realize that once you have a fight, even though it's forgiven, you still had it? And sometimes some very harsh words have been said, and some horrible things have come out. And it causes problems down through life. And we need to be very, very careful there. I'm going to go to an area that I've been asked about a few times. And when I was stopping and thinking about what are things that we can do that we cannot undo. Tattoos. One of our missionaries, he's been dead for quite some time. His wife's still alive. Brother Fritz had a lot of tattoos on his arm. He got saved afterwards. He did none when he was in the military. And he always hated those things. Couldn't get rid of them. He said, well, you can go have them removed. By the way, it's very expensive. And there's generally always still marks there that can be seen. Still some problems there, to my understanding and my knowledge. I want you to hear what the Bible says. It says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Pretty simple, amen? Pretty simple. And that's just where it is. Shouldn't make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. This was a common practice amongst the heathen that were surrounding Israel. And yet God told the Israelites, I don't want you doing that. You see, the body, according to the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And so here you have this temple that God has given you, and to mark it up. There are some people say, all right, I'm going to get a religious symbol on me, and I'm going to portray Christ. I guarantee you, by the way, it's not a witness to the world. And I believe against what God has to say in His Word. And we ought to, sometimes that happens out of ignorance, but rather, it can't be undone. There's a lot of things in life, if we're not careful, they can't be undone. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man what soweth, that shall he also reap. So if we've done something, it's forever done. You can't undo it. Now thank God that we can be forgiven. Amen? Now here's the truth. God somehow, in His forgiveness, forgets our sin. He sees us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's another truth. People generally, though they forgive, don't forget. Isn't that true? And so there's things that just cannot be undone. But thank God for the grace of God. And thank God that we can live in the Spirit. The works done in the Spirit are everlasting. That in the flesh, listen, We're going to live with that the rest of our lives, but also the same thing's true in the Spirit. But what we find with those is they're not taking us to an eternal death, but into an eternal life. They are that which is everlasting. Go back with me to the book of Galatians and chapter number 5, and notice here we find it says in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, did you ever notice it doesn't say fruits? This is not a list of fruits. This is a fruit that has all these characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so we find here, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. Now, let's stop and think about that for a moment. If I sow to you love, what am I going to probably get back? Yeah. It's not going to be heartache. It's not going to be that which is hindering in my life. It's not going to be like that of the works of the flesh. But it's going to have wonderful returns. If I sow to you joy, if I sow in my own life joy, I mean, it's got those kinds of returns to you and to me. But he that, it says in that verse, soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now that doesn't mean we get saved as a result of that, but it's talking about you and I. We have a reaping that takes place when we're willing to allow the Spirit of God to direct our lives, as opposed to our fleshly appetites. What do fleshly appetites do? They end up in heartache. They end up in destroying us. They end up in those things that we regret. Those things that hurt and destroy us. But that which is of the Spirit does not do that. And though they be very, very simple verses, it is an eternal truth that you and I need to recognize. God wants us to see that. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. So it doesn't matter. So if you're reaping to the flesh, you're going to reap of that. If you are, if you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap of that. If you're sowing to the Spirit, you're going to reap of that. So what is it you want to reap? That's what you need to sow. Very important. And if we don't sow in the right directions, we're going to have some things that are going to haunt us. I mean, we got them things, they're there. They're there. I mentioned two or three. We talked about the purity of our lives. I use the word virginity. Use this thing that's going on in today's society with tattoos. And, yeah. By the way, if you're carrying one, you probably did it in ignorance. And there's nothing you can do about it, but you can't ask God to what? Forgive and go on. And God is forgiving. Amen? But this is something that will be on you wherever you go. And there will be people who see it. And there will be those who wonder, why do you have it? Or question you, or whatever it might be. And in some cases, ooh and ah over it. It's just the way it is. But you and I have those things. The Apostle Paul said this. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He's not talking about tattoos. In the literal sense, he was talking about scars. Because Paul had been wounded severely for his evangelism to a lost world. On one occasion, you might remember, he was stoned and they thought he was even dead. And so Paul literally bore in his body, I believe, scars because of the Lord Jesus. But what's even more important is that there was the mark of Christ upon him. People saw that. Interesting. I got to tell this story again, Roseanne. Sitting at that piano many years ago was Gertrude, and she was playing. And every now and then, though she had played in years past, she didn't do that very often, but she was, I forget, it might have been a special that she was doing. It might have been an offertory. Very rarely played for the congregational people. She'd been a piano teacher all of her life. And very accomplished. And she's up in years. Gertrude walked with God. I saw it, but I didn't think about it. Sitting right here was two or three little girls. And they were army little girls. But while she was playing, their eyes were glued upon her. They were still as could be. There wasn't a peep out of them. There wasn't even a movement out of them. She got done playing, went back to her seat. And it was some time later, Roseanne woke up to me and she said, "Did you see those little girls?" And she said, "Did you see how they were acting?" "Yeah." "Well, why do you think that is?" "I don't know." And you hit me right between the eyes, Roseanne. You said, "It's because of the Spirit of God in Gertrude. She bore in her body the marks of the Lord Jesus." It was recognizable. Now that's the kind of marks we need, amen? And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, she and so many people I've known, they exhibit those wonderfully. Thank God for that, amen? And that ought to be our goal, to sow the right things in our lives. Now, if we're going to sow it, we've got to have our bag full of the right seed. And therein lies a lot of the problem, because folks taint the seed with all sorts of other things in their lives. The books they read, the videos they watch, the music they listen to, the people they hang around, all of those things can be that which distracts from it. Listen, I hope God speaks to our hearts about this in some very specific areas as well as generally. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I say, especially our young folks, remember that it never has changed. It's a law of the universe. It will never change in the future. What you sow, you will reap. And it will be either good or bad, the reaping. My son will be here in a couple of weeks. He works at the Talladega Federal Prison. One time he told me, he says, "Dad, my job is nothing more than adult babysitting." He works with men who, he says, "I haven't found one yet that was guilty of the crimes that they're in there for. They all believe they're innocent, but they all did some horrible things. And now they are reaping what they sow." They're reaping it. We were at camp one year. It's been many, many years ago. There was four boys. They were probably 16, 17 years age. They'd come out of a church down in Oklahoma or Texas, I forget which. And they brought them to camp. And those boys had come up with one purpose. They just wanted to cause trouble. They were doing a really good job of it. It was about Tuesday night. I saw them. Old Dan Allen had them. Dan Allen was Al Wells' dad. Dan Allen was in his 70s at the time, middle 70s. And you got to understand, this might have been an old man, but he was one of the toughest old men I've ever met in my life. He had been a union boss many years previous in the city of Denver. Al told me that Dan Allen put the union into Denver with his fists. He had been one mean man, but God saved his soul. And he'd been down some hard paths. He has these four boys sitting there. And they think it's all funny. I can't tell you everything he said. But he looked at one boy and he said, "It won't be very many years. you're going to be in prison because of what you're doing. And I'm just picking on you, okay? And that's where you're headed. Because of what you're doing, you're sowing this. And now you're always in trouble. This will carry through. And one of these days you're going to do something. They're going to put you in prison. That's where you're going to go. I'd like to tell you what else he said to him. And he looked at all the boys and described some things where they were headed. Very vividly. He did not hold back any punches. Had they continued their course, that's exactly what would have taken place. I've seen it happen. We've had young people in this church who would not listen, who are dead today because of their actions. I can name you a couple who are in jail today because of their actions. Would not listen. Went their course. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But oh, thank God for those who sowed to the Spirit. And I also look around this church and I can see folks who are in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, and some now getting into their 50s, who at one time were teenagers in this church. And they took God serious. And have sought to sow to the Spirit. Have they been perfect at it? No. But every one of them also tell you some regrets they have because they sowed to the flesh. Oh, how we need to stop and think. We will be accountable for everything we do. But again, I say, thank God for the grace of God. Amen? Thank God for it. And though we can be forgiven, the scars still stay there. I'll close with this illustration. I've heard it many times in the past. You've probably seen it. Little farm boy, he'd been an armory little guy. He was always doing stuff wrong. And so his dad told him, every time you do something wrong, there's a post out there in the barnyard. He says, I'm going to give you a nail. You're going to go out and drive that nail in the post. And so after several weeks, that post had a lot of nails in it. He took his son with a nail puller, and he goes out and he says, now I want you to pull those nails out. And his son pulled the nails out. He says, now those nails represent your sin. And when you're forgiven, that sin is removed. But I want you to look at the post. What do you think the post looked like? It had a lot of nail holes in it. And that's what we do to our lives. How important it is that we understand that principle. Father, tonight, thank you for this tremendous two verses and the truth of them. Lord, I pray that we as adults, whether we be young or old, might remember this tremendous truth in your word, eternal truth. And Lord God, that we might, with every action, weigh its future. God, work and bless in hearts and lives. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.